You're listening to Jeremy Beck on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yep, that's me, and I'm filling in for Mike Ryan. Now in the news headlines, Carnegie Mellon professor Uju Anya has sparked a firestorm when she wished Queen Elizabeth II an excruciating death, and she's doubled down on her comments, saying that she was trying to teach America about the monarchy's role in an African genocide. So shortly before the Queen's death, on the news that the doctors were concerned about the Queen's health, she tweeted, quote, "I heard the chief monarch of a thieving, raping, genocidal empire is finally dying. May her pain be excruciating," end quote. So she has obviously copped a lot of criticism from many, including Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. And she's doubled down. She says that, "I never said anyone should kill her. All I said is that she may suffer the way that millions of others have suffered at her hand." Now, she does have some supporters too. There's a petition going, which has received support from many thousands of academics and students. 4,000 have signed a petition. The point I would make is that I understand the role of the monarchy in colonialism. I understand all that, but I don't think revenge and those rage reactions are going to be very constructive in winning the hearts and minds of those monarchists to turn to be Republicans. I don't think that's going to work. But if you look at the history, the British Empire ran the slave trade through the British East India Company. And there is a lot of ugly history there, and even going up to the present day, which really the monarchy has a lot of questions to answer. And I'm certainly no fan of the current king, Charles III, to say the least. He is a World Economic Forum man. He's very close to Klaus Schwab. He's the president, or certainly was at least the president of WWF UK, the Worldwide Fund for Nature, pushing this zero net carbon nonsense. If Prince Charles, or now King Charles III, if he continues the way he's going, we're in real trouble. The economy is in real trouble if he pushes influence behind the scenes to persuade governments to go along with a death spiral. That's all it is, really. Zero net carbon is absolute insanity. So the monarchy has a lot of questions to answer. And I really don't think you're going to win the hearts and minds, as I say, to push this issue right now. But people should know the truth, and a debate's good. But respectfully, I think, is the answer there. Now, in other news, GOP Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut have introduced a bill to designate Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism. Now, currently, the only nations deemed to be state sponsors of terrorism include Iran, Syria, Cuba, and North Korea. Now, I think it's not the pot calling the kettle black. It's actually much worse, because here's the United States accusing Russia of sponsoring terrorism, whereas the United States has invaded and bombed more countries than any other and has blood on its hands of millions of innocent civilians. How can they call Russia a terrorist when you look at just Iraq alone, based on weapons of mass destruction, which didn't exist, and a million Iraqis, civilians, according to various estimates, have died as a result of that war alone. So you look at the military budget of the United States, it's nearly $1 trillion. It's bigger than the military budgets of the next 10 nations combined. And they're using that military to inflict terror on the world. And they have. And they're doing it now in sending weapons to Ukraine, just dragging on a war longer and longer and longer. So them accusing Russia as being a state sponsor of terrorism, it just it doesn't cut the mustard. Don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Opinions fact-checked.
If we don't speak up now, nothing's going to change.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Jeremy Beck with you. In recent days, fighting has taken place at the Armenia-Azerbaijan border, and recent reports indicate that over 100 troops have been killed. This is occurring in a strategically important region between the Black and the Caspian Seas, known as the Caucasus region. And concerningly, this war has the potential to escalate, as my next guest will explain. Joachim Hagopian is a West Point graduate, former army officer, and author of Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down. After the military, Joachim earned a master's degree in clinical psychology and worked as a licensed therapist. As an independent journalist for over 8 years, Joachim has written hundreds of articles for many news sites like Global Research, LeeRockwell.com, and currently JamesHThetzer.org. Welcome to TNT Radio, Joachim.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to be back.
Yep, likewise. Now, in your latest article posted at the government RAG website, it has a title, Azerbaijan Attacks Armenia Amidst the Globalist Countdown to World War III. Now, I think in many respects, we're already in World War III, but certainly the last thing we need is a hot war and more instability in Eurasia. But why is this current conflict so important?
It's important because the West, of course, ruled by the bloodlines, goes without saying, the West is all about trying to create destabilization along the longest national border in the world, which is Russia, of course, as the largest geographical nation in the world. And every country that borders Russia, the West oligarchs, bloodlines, are hellbent on stirring up such tension and conflict that they will become hostile NATO members at the doorstep of Russia. And the more tensions and conflicts created, the more chance that it will ignite into a hot nuclear Third World War. That is my conclusion of what the elite that control this world want. They want nuclear annihilation.
That's a big statement. My understanding is that they want to use the threat of nuclear annihilation, but I think they're not stupid enough to destroy themselves at the same time. Although sometimes I wonder, because there are a lot of fools who are leading us.
I'm not wondering anymore, because they're coming closer and closer and closer to the edge. You know, there's that red line that the Russians have been trying to get across, that you send over the HIMARS rocket systems that are longer range. They're right now sending over the 70-kilometer range, but they're also intending to send 300-kilometer range. It's going to ignite World War III. Basically, we have Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, almost pleading with the West, saying, don't do this because we know what's coming. We have Medvedev, the national security deputy, saying, you do this and this is what's going to happen. You know, they've been saying, and then the Zakharova, the minister spokeswoman, just recently said, you know, you're crossing the line, and we've been reminding you over and over. So I am convinced that they are going past that line and there is going to be a wider war. And Armenia, unfortunately, just like Ukraine, are basically cannon fodder between these evil, I will say, because I cannot rule out that Putin and Xi are, might actually stand for humanity as good guys. I'm not going to go that far, but they certainly, they counter the evil forces that we know are evil by the rulers of the West, who are gung-ho to start World War III. And I'm convinced that, yes, they seem to want it. It's not just a war of words and rhetoric, saber rattling. No, I think they want it because they keep crossing the line over and over again.
What I would suggest is that there are some people who are game planning this, and they're prepared to use nuclear weapons in the hope that they'll get in there sharp and fast, and Russia and China would not fire back, and they're hoping that they could create minimal damage. I think that might be one of their scenarios that they might be looking at, but at the same time, they know that that's a risk, that it could get totally out of control and destroy the entire world. So that I don't think that they really want to go there unless they're at their wit's end, and they want global control. But if they think that they can't achieve it any other way, they might be desperate enough to launch the nukes in the hope that they'll get a first strike knockout. But that's a very risky game.
Yeah, it sure is. But, you know, I think what we have here are Satanists, bloodline Satanists that control the world through the Rothschild banking cartel, the royal families, all of that. And I've written extensively about it. And I feel that they are losing their power. They know that the world is catching on to all their crimes against humanity like never before. And they realize they have nothing left to lose. That's why I'm saying they are willing to cross that red line and take us to nuclear detonation. They believe that with all their luxurious subterranean cities and dwellings, that they can survive several years of the detonation fallout before they resurface. And with a handful of humans left on the Earth, they know that they have a 100% chance that they will regain total control like they're going for. But they're meeting a lot of pushback right now because people are arming themselves with the truth like never before. And they are, I believe, losing their power base. And so, yeah, they're getting desperate. And for them, because they are Luciferian, whatever you want to call them, they actually get off, they enjoy inflicting human suffering on humans. So yeah, that's my assessment.
Yeah, well, they're sociopaths among them, and psychopaths. Yes. They're evil people, really. And you only have to look at the last 2.5 years or more of COVID overreach to know that the suffering that they've caused based on a scientific lie or many lies. Now, who is supplying the weapons to Azerbaijan?
You ask who's supplying the weapons to Azerbaijan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they've launched an attack on Armenia.
They won the last war, actually, was a 44-day-long war back in September and October of 2020. And that was a game changer for the Armenian-Azerbaijan conflict in the Gorno-Karabakh, which is the breakaway region that since ancient times has always been in Armenian hands, but Stalin gave it away in 1920 to Azerbaijan just to purposely set up this kind of contention where there would be this conflict and potential war. And here we are all these years later, 72 years later. So, or even more than that, 102 years later, excuse me. But anyway, yeah, it's a situation where it's such a hot spot. And unfortunately, Azerbaijan won the war in 2020, and they did it with killer drones, primarily from Israel. The Russians sell military weapons to Azerbaijan, as does the United States. As you're probably very aware, Azerbaijan is loaded with oil fields in the Caspian region, and that makes them be able to get away with a lot of things. And basically, a statement was made by their minister, Azerbaijan's minister, economy minister, saying he's bragging. We are supplying 30% more of natural gas to Europe. And then within 4 or 5 hours of that statement, they went ahead and started shelling not Nagorno-Karabakh, but Armenia proper, the Republic of Armenia. And for the next quite a few hours, they were just constantly shelling and killed 49 Armenians, and supposedly 50 Azerbaijanis died in that process this last Tuesday morning. So basically, we have a situation where the oil money, oil-rich Azerbaijan is buying all the latest technological weapons, and they're able to, you know, the landlocked little country of Republic of Armenia is not able to keep up with the military hardware to win a war again with Azerbaijan. So what's happening is Aliyev, the dictator, is going for the kill, and he thinks he can get away with it because of the fact that Europe is going to be hurting so bad for fuel to heat their homes this winter. They're going to be freezing to death. And so because they're supplying Europe with so much of their natural gas for heating, they think they can get away with this. And they are confident that the world reaction to this little place called Armenia is not going to amount to anything because they are the suppliers of so much of this needed fuel. That's the dynamics behind all this.
Yep, I understand those dynamics, and it's a fascinating discussion, a bit terrifying actually, but we do need to go to a break. This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Jeremy Nell is talking about.
Yesterday was 9/11. I'm going to do a full deep dive with Joe Olson, who is an absolute engineering guru, and he has spent years on this.
They had copies of the stamped New York City approved structural plans for World Trade Centers 1 and 2. The buildings are almost identical. And then they also had the stamped plans for World Trade Center 7. So I sat there and reviewed the plans, and it was like, my God, there's no way an airplane can knock down this building. And then they had split screen with side-by-side comparisons of an admitted controlled demolition on one side and the World Trade Center buildings coming down on the other side, both of them at free fall because you knocked out all of the supports inside the building. And so I'm watching that, and it's like, Jesus Christ, this is 100% controlled demolition.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
We have every right to believe Ukraine funds are being money laundered, unless proven otherwise. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is Jeremy Beck, and my guest is Joachim Hagopian. So we're talking about the scary prospect of potential nuclear war. Now, as I said, I don't think the world leaders really want to go there, but I know that they are scheming certain scenarios, war gaming, and if they get totally desperate, they may launch a preemptive nuke strike. It is a risk, but I'm hopeful that there is enough backlash. I'm hopeful that people are waking up to this globalist agenda, the World Economic Forum, the transhumanism. If there is a big backlash, they're the few, we're the many. We can overpower them. What do you think?
That's why I write, Jeremy, because I want to put out the truth. You know, I wrote 5 books on the pedophilia scourge on this earth that is basically being engineered and controlled by the same handful that's causing all this war situation. So it's a matter of the population learning the hardcore dark truth about these so-called puppet leaders that we have, and then the puppet masters behind them, which are the bloodline families. And we have to hold them accountable. Absolutely. In military tribunals, we must prosecute and, where it's deserved, publicly execute, or at least stick them in prison, because they are dangers to all of humankind. And they have committed the worst unthinkable crimes against humanity for centuries now. So it's finally time that we, the people, take charge of our own planet before we are destroyed.
Yeah, well, we certainly need to eliminate this evil. Otherwise, there won't be a world really to think of for the next generation. Now, in terms of Armenia, they have a very rich cultural heritage and a history that dates back to the early Bronze Age and the first Christian nation as early as the 4th century AD. And Armenia's capital, Yerevan, is one of the world's oldest continually inhabited cities. How significant is this history?
Yeah, their history goes back to Mount Ararat and Noah's Ark landing on it. They are ancient people. They are the first Christian nation. And you better believe that Aliyev, the dictator of Azerbaijan, is all about, he's made this statement many times, I'm going to wipe out Armenians from the face of the earth. That is basically his message, along with the Turkey, the genocide, you know, culprits from the last century. They're wiping out all the religious, cultural, historical roots as far as they go. I mean, when they've already taken over since the last war in 2020, much of the territory of Nagorno-Karabakh, which is ancient, and they are eliminating all presence of the Armenians. They're even claiming falsely that Albanians were actually doing all these religious and cultural things to try and say, convince the ignorant people, I guess, out there that it isn't really the Armenians that have this culture and history. It's just so absurd. But that's where they're going with all this.
Yeah. And I see that, and the point you made in your article is that essentially this is all about trying to drag Russia to get involved in another conflict along its borders or near its borders. We've only got a couple of minutes left. If you can just briefly say something on that, about dragging Russia into this.
Sure. Well, that's been the motivation of the U.S. foreign policy toward Russia for, you know, several decades now, to stir up trouble along the border, to win over all these countries like Ukraine and make them NATO members, stick our the U.S. missiles, nuclear warheads into all these countries on Russia's doorstep and have first strike advantage. That's what all of this is about. They will not be willing to give up the unipolar world that they've had now for 30 years. They're unwilling to give it up, and they're willing to basically destroy the earth, apparently, in its wake, if they can't get what they want.
Yeah, It's a dangerous world that we're living in. Before we go, how can people find out more about you?
All right. Well, I am posting all my articles on jameshfetzer.org. I have a Revolution Radio broadcast that I do every Friday morning and speak about the news, and that's on Revolution Radio. And also thegovernmentrag.com. I also am Global Research. Those are all the places that you can find my work.
Thanks very much, Joachim Hagopian. Great to have you again on TNT Radio. And now it's time for the news headlines.
Jordan Parker here with a look at your TNT Radio news headlines. A US federal judge has appointed a special master to review documents the FBI seized from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago, Florida estate. Also, the White House has struck a tentative deal to avoid a rail strike that risked major disruptions across the United States. And arguably the greatest tennis player of all time, Roger Federer, has announced his retirement from the sport.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad, listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, this is TNT Radio.
This is Jeremy Beck. In a world with so much corruption, whistleblowers are absolutely vital to seek the truth and overthrow leaders who are not morally fit to remain in positions of power. Trevor Kitchen is a whistleblower who helped to expose the so-called Forex scandal in 2013. He now faces extradition to Switzerland on a charge of criminal libel for labelling a banker a parasite in emails. Welcome to TNT Radio, Trevor.
Nice to be with you, Jeremy, for another time. It's great to hear from you.
Now, I understand that you are now shackled in Portugal because if you attempt to cross a border, you risk imprisonment and extradition to Switzerland. It's just shocking that it's come to this, you know, when you should really be celebrated for helping expose the Forex scandal.
Well, Jeremy, shackled is the right word. The Swiss prosecutor has stalked me for years already, and they're pretty much trying to silence me and silence truth from coming to the surface. Just because I called a banker a parasite, apparently. This has been going on for 5 months. To protect itself against whistleblowers, Switzerland has recently also introduced new secrecy laws, making whistleblowing an act of criminal espionage. Can you believe that? Especially if it involves reporting financial fraud or corruption in the banking system. That's what they've done.
It's just horrible. Now, what is your situation now?
The situation now is a bit of a catch-22 for me. If I want to file criminal charges against my persecutors in Switzerland for what they've done, because this is what they're doing, you know, they're stressing me and putting my life at risk and damaging our health and God knows what. If I want to go there to clear my name, I've been told that I must take up residency in Switzerland. Now, let me make this clear for the audience. The way I see that, Jeremy, is that Switzerland can file defamation charges against a person in another country, and then they can go and hunt that person, have them arrested in any European Union country on defamation charges. But if the person outside of Switzerland is not allowed to file fraud charges against other people in Switzerland, they must personally go to Switzerland to do it. Then the Swiss can arrest them and silence them forever. This is a bit like the German lawyer who helped investigate the Cum-Ex tax fraud files. If you remember, that was about a year ago. That was where taxpayers around the world had been cheated out of $150 billion in taxes. Well, that lawyer was forced to travel to Switzerland by the Swiss judiciary and face a Swiss court, a federal court, the Supreme Court. And the Swiss wanted to put him in prison for helping journalists investigate Swiss bank accounts that, you know, in Switzerland linked to these Cum-Ex files, to this tax fraud. Anyway, of course, he was a, you know, he was a lawyer. So he was fortunate to be able to leave Switzerland again. But a Swiss lawyer told me recently that there's, you know, if I would go to Switzerland, I wouldn't get any damages compensated or anything. You know, they don't do that. They just pay your legal fees. So it's basically a business for lawyers. You know, it goes back to the slap thing that I spoke about on the last interview. If I would go to Switzerland on my own accord, I would lose a thing called speciality clause. That means Swiss could charge me with anything other than the defamation or the libel. And the prosecutor told my lawyer in Holland when I was sitting in prison that she will put me in prison without a court hearing as soon as I arrive. And she has powers to do that without any intervention of a Swiss judge. Swiss prosecutors can lock people up, as I've said before, for 6 months and then just release them and say, well, we're not going to charge you or anything. Anyway, she's already had Swiss police interrogate my family, my ex-wife, who we were divorced 37 years ago. They interrogated my debt collector as well in Switzerland. And then she, the prosecutor, threatened to intensify a police search for me if I did not stop writing complaints about fraud to her government authorities. Basically, she wants to silence me. So if I travel anywhere within the EU Schengen wonderland, I call it now, I'll be rearrested and imprisoned for up to 2 years waiting for an extradition. Because if I go willingly, they're going to remove this speciality clause. So, and more recently, the Swiss prosecutor in Zurich has blocked my renewal of my UK passport. So we're sat here in limbo in Portugal, stateless, homeless, without a passport. This has been going on for 5 months. I can't travel. They've been very effective in making me stateless and homeless, basically.
It's just horrible.
They basically. Yeah, they're abusing this European arrest warrant. It was not meant to be used for this. It's meant to be used for terrorists and serious laws. And Jeremy, I've noticed this all across Europe. What's going on is they're taking these defamation laws, these archaic defamation laws, which are still in full force in 27 European countries, and they are using them against public. You know, and they shouldn't be doing this. They should be using these against serious criminals. And you know, the EU is contradicting itself. Its laws state that the European arrest warrant should only be used for serious crimes, not for fabricated defamation charges like mine.
Says a lot about the Swiss justice system, doesn't it? Because this is the Swiss government which wants to extradite you, and you're in Portugal. So what's so special about Switzerland?
I think Switzerland, because most of the, as we know, the world corporations are there, the WHO is there, the Bank of International Settlements is there, FIFA is there, World Economic Forum, Charles Schwab is Swiss, you know. These people in Switzerland seems to be the center of the world, you know, and their judicial system is there left in place like this to protect the ultra high net worth individuals around the world. That's why the Swiss franc right now is just going north. It's been appreciating against the dollar, the pound, and the euro drastically these last few weeks, you know, with this hyperinflation going on, which was also caused by banks printing money. You know, they're blaming it on this Russia Ukraine conflict at the moment, but it's more to do with the trillions that they printed. So yes, yeah, Switzerland plays a vital role in this world. It is the center, you know. But some facts about the Swiss justice system.
Yeah,
80% of Switzerland's prisoners are foreign, and they can be imprisoned without a trial or a judge. Most of them are. When they're later released without any compensation, you know, they don't get a fair trial. Habeas corpus and human rights do not exist in Switzerland. And many Swiss basically are defaming their politicians openly on the internet. I've been looking these last few weeks. I see people's faces all over the internet, the leaders from Switzerland being defamed. And none of those prosecutors are going after Swiss people. You know, they don't chase their own people, nor threaten them with 3-year prison sentence like they've done with me. This is discrimination as well. They're hunting and stalking foreign whistleblowers across the entire world for years outside of their own jurisdiction. The government are hypocrites, and they ignore their own banking secrecy laws when it suits them, because they dived into my banking account just to shut me up and stole $40,000 out of my bank account. They said, no, we've taken that and put it as a deposit until we have your case heard. Well, nobody gets $40,000 stolen out of their bank account. And I call it theft, Jeremy. This is this is theft. This is power mad prosecutors, overlord prosecutors going nuts. I mean, they've got too much power, these people. And I've just read this morning in the US papers that somebody from the CIA, a whistleblower there, has said they've got to renew the whole of the FBI. They've got to fire everybody because it's so corrupt. Well, if that's an indication, then you know exactly what's going on in Switzerland too. And there are many other whistleblowers in Switzerland. You know, it's not just about me. I've been blackmailed there and everything. And they're not helping. The law in that country does not help. They've been given everything from me, which proves that I was blackmailed, and that gave me good reason to call a banker a parasite and his lawyer. And they, you know, I'm really angry about this. So if I'm coming over a little bit stressed, it's because we've been under pressure for 5 months living out of suitcases.
Oh, understandably. I mean, if you can't see anyone, friends or relatives overseas or anything like that, and you don't know, your future's just so uncertain. It's just must be horrible. Now, how do whistleblowers benefit society?
Well, greatly, I'd say. You know, EU and Europe's governments regard defamation a serious crime that justifies extradition between countries. But whistleblowers fill a human resource gap for authorities, and they help protect society from all aspects of wrongdoing. But as I said, criminal defamation is being used to muzzle them. And I believe these regulators and whistleblower organizations and their law firms alike are the ones who benefit most. They earn money from these cases. The whistleblower just has to deal with it. You know, I also believe that whistleblowers, journalists, reporters alike, are specifically being targeted because they are viewed as a threat to the corporations who work together with governments.
Yes, and you are obviously seen as a threat, because calling a banker a parasite is hardly threatening. It's what you obviously did beforehand in exposing these unusual foreign exchange transactions. That is just pretty wild. If you can just give just a brief summary on what you actually exposed, if you can do that, and then we have to take a break in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Okay, Jeremy. Well, it started in 2011, actually. I was trading on the currency markets, and I noticed that the Swiss franc in a short period of time had appreciated by about 150% against major currencies, one of them being the US dollar, which we know is used to, you know, for pricing oil and all the vital commodities that we use. So that's what I exposed. I wrote to the regulators. I wrote to the government in the UK's Treasury, And I said, you know, what's going on with this Swiss franc, basically, that, you know, it just seems to be gaining power over all the currencies. It is itself become the reserve currency of the world. It's not labeled that, but that's what it is. It's stronger than any other currency on the planet at the moment. And that's been going on this last week again. So that's what I exposed. Then they came back to me and they quickly labeled me a whistleblower. Now, this word whistleblower, Jeremy, is a little bit like Brexit. You know, they put a name on it, and a lot of it's to divide and conquer public, because there's a lot of public out there who think whistleblowing is a snitch. You know, he's a telltale and things like this from school days. You know, oh, this person's out there telling tales. But it's not about that. These are about people who are reporting genuine crimes. And they've labeled them whistleblowers. So they sort of associate this word whistleblower, and half of the population probably interpret it, oh, not another whistleblower, you know. And the other half can understand it and agree with, well, it's not really a whistleblower. These people are just trying to help authorities, you know.
Yep.
Authorities short of resources, you know.
Good point there. We do need to take a break. This is TNT Radio.
Deweaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Close to 3 months ago, I wrote an article for CFACT on the man-made climate disaster that was coming for Europe because of these insane policies. And it's really starting to have people take notice. Even Glenn Beck is having a special on it Wednesday night in the United States. But here's what I want to ask the leaders of the Western world that are doing this to people with this phony climate war. Are you advancing the cause of mankind doing this, or are you leading to more misery? Take care of the problems today, not worried about what may or may not happen 100 years down the road. Now, I'll tell you what, I took a look at the Japanese model for the winter. There's a lot of blocking over Greenland and Iceland, and it looks bad for Europe. But we've been saying that we're concerned about that since spring. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A former federal election official called the $400 million plus that Mark Zuckerberg spent to finance the local elections was a carefully orchestrated attempt to influence the 2020 vote, and recommended that all states ban private funding of election offices. Hans von Spakovsky, a former Federal Election Commission member, said the billionaire Facebook founder's donations to a pair of non-profits that provided funding to nearly 2,500 counties in 49 states violated fundamental principles of equal treatment of voters, since it may have led to unequal opportunities to vote in different areas of a state. This allowed the conversion of official government election offices into get-out-the-vote operations for one political party, and to insert political operatives into election offices to influence and manipulate the outcome of the election.
How's the dollar against the peso or the euro? For a favorable rate of exchange and the currency of free speech, listen to today's news talk, TNT Radio.
This is Jeremy Beck, and my guest is Trevor Kitchen. So before the break, we were discussing whistleblowers and the meaning of the word and the connotations there. I certainly see whistleblowers as honourable, and I know many do, but of course there will be some who will think they're just dibber-dobbers. But in any case, anyone who understands anything about the world knows that if we don't have great people such as yourself, the world would be a very miserable place, and corruption would just run much, much worse than it already has. So I just have a thought on why do you think the United States wants to attract international whistleblowers to help them fighting wrongdoing?
Right. Well, first of all, Jeremy, I really liked the advert there, currency of free speech. That's a good one. Anyway, back to this. Yeah, certainly these the USA want to attract international whistleblowers. They don't do this for society's benefit. I don't think so. They do it because it's for their own benefit. US whistleblower law firms, organizations, regulation authorities, they use whistleblower award programs to attract and gather information from the international public. Whether you want to label them as whistleblowers or concerned public is something else, but let's call them whistleblowers for now. And this helps the corporations and the governments strengthen their defenses, you know, their due diligence programs that they impose on the public. Not the companies themselves. They don't have any due diligence. They're all being corrupt, aren't they? Busy. Mm. Anyway, they want these new whistleblowers, Jeremy. They want their business, and they claim they will protect them. Now, I've had this recently the other year. I've noticed a lot of US law firms and whistleblowing law firms and organizations moving into Europe. And they say, they profess that they'll protect the whistleblowers. But when the whistleblowers have done whistleblowing, they're left to fight alone. My whistleblower lawyer in the USA told me outright when I was in prison in Holland, the US cannot protect you. It cannot protect because I wasn't an American citizen, you know. And this is a whistleblower who's helped the American public recover losses from this currency crisis. Anyway, not one whistleblower that I know has been protected. Not one, Jeremy. Every single one of them, especially in Switzerland, and I know dozens in Switzerland, major whistleblowers, not one of them has been protected. The industry and organization has one way or another been terrorized and been financially, morally, and mentally ruined these people. Look at Assange, Snowden, Manning. They've all been, ruined their lives. It's not because they're a threat to society. It's because they're a threat to the economic health of a government or a corporation. That's what I believe. Whistleblowers are being targeted from every angle. Take those in Australia, for example, who reported child abuse the other year by Jehovah's Witnesses. There's school teachers like that as well in Switzerland who report child abuse too. All of them are systematically destroyed for reporting wrongdoing. I can't figure out why. You know, Swiss whistleblowers and friends have warned me that the Swiss authorities would even treat me as their own version of Julian Assange if I ever went to Switzerland. I suppose that's one way they get to keep the pension money that they stole from me. And by the way, you mentioned earlier about my family in Switzerland. I haven't seen them for years because of this. And I've written to the authorities there. I've written to all the authorities in Switzerland, pleading with them, can you please sort this out? They just ignore. They don't help. They actually, in fact, they don't ignore. They issue another arrest warrant for me.
It's and just psychological torture what they're doing to you, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is a torture. And that's what their aim is. Their aim is to harm, to silence, to put a person in such a situation that in the end, they just don't know what's going on. It starts off with something so small. But as you say, they wouldn't chase a person for defamation like this. This is definitely because this banker and his lawyer, because I called them parasites, they decided to get revenge. And they went to the authorities and said, this is the guy who reported the financial crisis. And by the way, I first reported that in 2011. It hit the newspapers in 2013, just to go back to that point.
Wow, you were really early on in the piece. So you've been looking at all the different currency exchange rates and the manipulations there, and I've been taking a look at the various exchange rates. I see that the Swiss franc has generally appreciated in recent years over other currencies. A particular note, it's certainly appreciated with respect to the euro, even the US dollar and the Australian dollar, but the euro clearly is much weaker. And that's important because Switzerland is in Europe and they're doing quite nicely, aren't they?
Well, as I said before, it's the ultra high net worth individuals and the bankers and the corporations, the holding companies that are all based in Switzerland. So it's very important that currency retains its value against everything, and it continues to appreciate every day. It only benefits these super rich people who put their money in Switzerland. It maintains their value. You know, the poorer countries, Jeremy, have less purchasing power as this Swiss franc increases. That's why all of these organizations are there, you know, especially FIFA. I mean, this is how they keep everyone distracted with football. Anyway, the poorer countries suffer drastically because of the higher import costs. And that's happening right now. Bankers choose the currencies that they want to target. It's nothing to do with public demand. You know, people, it used to be that it was all based on import and export. Well, it looks like Switzerland's exporting a lot of chocolate and cheese lately because it's going north, the Swiss franc. How can that be? You know, it's not the public's demand for that products in that country. It's Rolex watches that pushes this up, you know. Look at Soros, what he did back to sterling back in the 80s. The public were so busy making their ends meet working every day that they didn't notice the real effects for the man in the street, you know. But the bankers knew what he was doing. He crashed the pound and he made billions from that. And that's what started George Soros off. That's what he did.
Mm, absolutely. And Soros has a huge role in the world right now, and that the funding typically goes to these radical left-wing movements. And I know we here in Australia have an organisation called GetUp, which is actually an offshoot of MoveOn.org, which did receive Soros funding. And the very people who worked at MoveOn.org helped set up GetUp here in Australia. So
incredible.
Soros also is a big funder of the movements associated with all those colour revolutions, which have destroyed whole nations. He's a big player, and he's known as the mega speculator. So you're really coming up against some of the most powerful people, influential people, such as George Soros, aren't you?
I think so. This is all politically driven. And, you know, I'm not left or right, but I do believe this is all driven from the left. Especially this, you know, the double standards. You're not allowed to say anything, but they can say everything they want. And if you say something, they'll, you know, have you locked away for it. So that's the way they control society nowadays, is double standards, cherry picking. And, you know, it's all politically driven. It's to gain control. And if they're doing this in the schools and training our next generation to come out thinking that way, well, then it's no wonder why we have problems in the world today. And, you know, I'm now getting on for 72. I don't have the strength and energy that I had when I was 40 to be able to help with this. I'm just trying to push my point out there of what's happening to warn the future generations, Jeremy. Because if this carries on, we will end up in an authoritarian state, and we already
are.
Three quarters of the
way there. We've got a couple of minutes left. I just want your final comments on what you want people to do who want to report corruption. We've only got a couple of minutes, less than 2 minutes.
Okay. So my warning to all potential whistleblowers or people who want to report wrongdoing would be to stay well away from government authorities, law enforcement agencies. Never divulge any information or data to regulators or whistleblower organizations or those whistleblower law firms. And you have to let crime thrive. This has got to sort itself out. Just let the crime thrive. If you go out and report wrongdoing, you're going to suffer big time, like everyone else has. Every single one of us, whistleblowers, suffer in silence.
It's an important message to get out, because the mainstream media certainly aren't covering your case very much at all.
No,
I did see one or two articles, but they don't want to know about you, do they?
No, they phone up, they take all the information, feed it back to the perpetrators, even the lawyers. My lawyer has left me recently, by the way. He said, I cannot have you keep telling me that the Swiss are corrupt and that the authorities won't give you a fair trial. I can't listen to that anymore. You know, you've got no point. You're not entitled to a point of view, Trevor. They are. Mm. The Swiss are entitled to do what they're doing. This is what he told me.
Yep.
So,
you've done a fantastic job. All the best. And we'll talk again soon, no doubt. It's great to have you on TNT Radio. Now we're coming up to the news headlines.